Time to get those calls fired up in a couple of moments. That's if you would like to connect with Dennis Stewart for Health Naturally. And Dennis, why would they not? I mean, let's be honest, you're a nice, friendly going chap. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mark. What do I owe you for that?
$50 cash, no checks, no electronic transfer, ATO.
I'll try to work it.
Now, look, as you probably noticed, the morning's particularly getting a little bit crisper and cooler. Yeah. We're moving into what many think of as the cold and flu season. Mm. A little bit later, you actually will release to us your protocol for getting through this part of the year.
Look, Mark, I do it virtually every year at this time of the of the seasons, if you like, and it's just a simple little list of recommendations that I think over the years have helped people realise that a few things that they can do with their lifestyle, with their eating habits, with even with their dress habits, and certainly with the supplements they can use, can get through the season, if you like, a little bit more confidently. I want to take up this topic. It's a serious topic, and it's an inexpensive way of giving oneself an edge in being able to cope with the challenge of the change of season, particularly useful if we are, if you like, getting on in life, in inverted commas. And this is where I think what I call complementary medicine can be useful.
It's that time of the year, Dennis. It's getting cooler. And you've got a few things that might actually help us make our way all the way to spring.
Look, I think there are a few things that can help. First of all, I think it's important that we see my recommendations in the context of what is referred to as complementary medicine. Now, this basically means that the advice that I frequently give and have done for many years on this program and this session are not in competition with the recommendations and the protocols and the treatments offered by a very good medical system. What we're talking about is another line of benefit that comes from a spectrum of supplements and practices that are not, if you like, conventional. Complementary medicine does not mean that we bypass the advice, the practices, the recommendation of our good medical practitioners. It's basically saying that alongside of that, there are things that naturopaths and herbalists and other practitioners have recommended for decades, if not centuries, if you like, which can be seen as being useful today in helping people support, if you like, mainstream medicine by simple things that they themselves can initiate. Complementary medicine, complementing the mainstream, giving us an additional edge, which particularly in wintertime can bring a great deal of benefit, I believe, and my recommendations over the year, which I'll now take up, I'm sure have helped many people deal better, if you like, with the challenges of cold weather.
I'll go to the end quickly, then we'll go through them.
Sure.
In terms of some of these protocols, when you sort of see people in your healing rooms, are they going, you know what, I did some of this stuff and I feel better this season?
Look, I do, and that's a popular comment of many of my patients, and many would say, oh, look, that is simply people wanting to be seen to agree with what you've said. There may be a degree of that. There's a degree of that sort of comment even within mainstream medicine. But I'm convinced that the many thousands of people that I've seen in my 50 years of natural health practice and recommendations, I'm convinced that many of those people and the comments that they've made to me supporting my recommendations have helped them cope with conditions which otherwise, particularly in this time of the year, have been a very problematical season. Yes, the advice is taken on board. Simple things that people can do, which I believe and I preach it and have preached it, can give them an edge to cope better and feel more confident with their transit through cold weather.
All right, let's stack them up. What are some of those protocols, Dennis?
Well, first of all, realise that in traditional cultures, cold weather is seen as a pathogen. Now, you might say, what does that mean? If one studies the oldest system of medicine known to mankind, which is the medical system of South Asia, known as Ayurvedic medicine, which is still practiced and supported by the Indian government, it sees cold as not just something that one experiences, but something which can challenge one's health, and cold in itself can predispose towards the consequences of cold not being recognised. Now, you say, what do you mean by that?
To me, though, it seems something that would be very basic and rudimentary. I hear you say that and go, yeah, that makes sense to me.
You would think so. But does it make sense when in midwinter you increasingly see people walking around, and I use the expression, half-dressed? What virtue is there wandering around, say, in the Hunter Valley early in the morning with summer clothes, that's the point. That's failing to acknowledge what other cultures have acknowledged, that one recognises the challenges of the season and the body's loss of warmth or the body's reaction to cold can bring on, can trigger, can exacerbate diseases such as respiratory conditions in particular. And so that's why the first thing I say to people, look, recognise the wisdom of traditional systems of medicine and see cold weather being represented by a pathogen which requires one to adopt certain techniques, the first one being to acknowledge the potential problem of cold and to dress and respect it accordingly. And I say that very seriously, Mark.
Would it be fair to say, though, when you went into this here, talking about, well, people still dress for summer, and I'm guessing when people are out doing athletic things, whatever, but our body generally has a temperature, and any time you go too far away from that, that's when the problems are going to come, particularly when you go under and go cold?
Look, that's correct. And fortunately, the body has great systems of
resilience.
Adaptation. Yeah. But as we get older in particular, and a lot of my recommendations can be taken on board by elderly people, as we get older in particular, the challenge of coldness to the health of the body is very significant and can push many elderly people with a predisposition, particularly to respiratory systems, into a state of problems. And this is where I say, from the first thing that one recommends to people at this time of the year is a change in diet. And you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I subscribe to the view that food is your best medicine. And learning from traditional systems of medicine, particularly the Ayurvedic system of traditional India, what one does is make sure that one's diet at this time of the year swings in favour of warming foods, not going down the pathway of multiple salads and all this hot weather food that lingers. There's this obsession, I would argue, and it's my opinion, that necessarily cold food, salad food, is better for you. I question that. It's cold food. Take that on board. So salads, sitting down to foods that are casual, that bear with them little warmth, in my opinion, do very little to support the body's fight against the pathogenic consequences of coldness. The first thing to do is warm up the diet. Start to use foods that are laced with warming supplements, particularly the spices.
Now you're talking my language. You jumped over it for me.
It was said to challenge you, mate.
It was. No, I love spices. So when you say like warming foods,
yes.
I'm guessing that's a two-pronged approach there. One, foods that are just warm in nature and in temperature. But when you say warming foods, when you're going down the spice route, what do we mean there?
Well, there I'm saying, look, learn from other cultures. And by that I mean, begin to use, as I've preached on this program for many years, begin to use herbs like capsicum or cayenne. Begin to use herbs like ginger, remarkable ginger. Learn to use the virtue of curries in their various strengths. These are the backbone foods that support the concept that warm food can be sustaining food and can help the body resist the challenges of coldness. Cold foods, particularly for the elderly, are not good, in my opinion. They bring little warmth. They give body little support. Cold foods promote improved circulation and in so doing help resist dramatically, particularly systems of that are such as the respiratory system. This has been shown in works done by various clinical scientists over the years. It's been shown that resistance to cold and respiratory conditions in particular is based in many cultures. The success of that is based on many cultures learning from the inclusion of foods that I mentioned again, the simple capsicums or cayennes, ginger, curries, horseradish, those sorts of foods that are warming foods.
Love all those. Can I throw turmeric on that list, please?
Why not? Why not? We could talk all day, and you know this about turmeric, but I see turmeric as being much broader in its benefits. What I'm trying to say at this moment, even just using simple household spices, if you like, and blending them increasingly into our foods can be a contribution to changing the diet in favour of warmth and lessening the potential problems of a diet still structured around summertime tucker.
All right, 49216216 if you have a question for Dennis Stewart, whether it's on warming foods, whether it's on the cold and flu season, or indeed anything else, he'll have a crack at it. Who knows, maybe even men's fashion. Dennis, you give that a crack if someone wants to?
We'll talk about anything.
Okay, it's open. He's open all hours. Dennis Stewart at Health Naturally at 2NURFM 103.7. We're heading to Blackalls Park, and g'day, Kerry. You have a question for Dennis on beetroot and type 2 diabetes. Go for it, Kerry.
Yes, hello. How are you?
How are you, Kerry?
I'm good.
Good,
I'm
good.
Just asking, I've been looking up Instagram, and there's been a fair bit of information about how beetroot can really help lower your sugar levels with type 2 diabetes, and they're encouraging you to buy these beetroot tablets. I'm just wondering, I looked up in the comments section and they're saying it's a scam.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know your take on what you think about beetroot tablets.
Well, look, to start with, I'm a great supporter of beetroot as a food, but as a food with particular benefits. Some months ago, I spoke about the way in which beetroot is now recognised as having benefits on supporting the patient's immune system, on helping promote better recovery after some medical procedures, as to being useful for people that are suffering or battling with post-cancer therapy problems. And I promoted it as a herb of universal recommendation coming into its own as a result of modern clinical investigative work as being a supportive herb for the immune system, for health recovery, as an anti-fatigue agent, and as a supporter, particularly for the circulatory system. And I would argue that very strongly and refer people to more, if they're wanting to look for more information, to look again on the net and punch in comments like beetroot and health benefits, rather than be swayed by companies seeking to use their beetroot preparation as being the ultimate. I would say, first of all, familiarise yourself with the way in which beetroot generally and in many forms is recognised as having a broad spectrum of benefits, maybe some usefulness in type 2, but I would see it transcending its benefits and being much more important than just that. As far as using beetroot, look, beetroot's a food. The moment, this is my opinion, the moment we start reducing it to a tablet, that worries me a bit. What I mean, it's a food. Yeah. But look, in my practice, I recommend a beetroot for many of my patients and clients where it is appropriate. And I recommend it, first of all, for them, if they're keen, to use straight out beetroot juice. However...
So you think beetroot juice is good? I know, I've heard that beetroot juice is very good for your blood.
Yes, look, beetroot juice is the most popular way around the world, particularly in European countries and in particular Germany, where it's a major herb used for supporting the immune system. But look, I recommend it also in a powdered form. And you'd be surprised to know that one can purchase beetroot powder from our good health food stores, from naturopathic practices, because the powder is simply the food dehydrated. It is as close as one can get to the food itself. It is just, if you like, has become a dehydrated preparation of pure beetroot. So as a means of getting it perhaps in a more convenient and easier way of taking it, say a teaspoonful of the powder a couple of days or a couple of times a day, I see that as being a more natural way of using it. And so I'd encourage listeners.
Just go to a health food store.
Always support your local health food store. Mm-hmm. We've got some of the best. I'm not just saying this, but I believe it's true. We've got some of the best health food stores in New South Wales, and they struggle these days. Support them wherever possible, and with the foods in packaged form, get back to what the health food stores were famous for and still are. That's providing bulk foods. Go to your health food store to start with. Look at the beetroot powder if you're keen to go that pathway rather than go down the pathway of purchasing the raw beetroot and juicing it. Either way, in my opinion, that's a better way of harnessing an excellent supportive food than taking it, for goodness sake, in a tablet form.
All right, thank you so much for all of that. Kerry, best of luck. G'day, Bob at Bacolban. You have a question on Graves' disease. What's the story, Bob?
It's actually Grover's, G-R-O-V-E-R, disease.
Yes.
And it's a skin disease that's very hard to...
It's very difficult to treat, Bob.
That's right. And I've had it for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
And... it comes and goes. It mainly comes.
Yes.
Onto this, and the big problem is at night time, when I'm sleeping.
Yes.
I scratch myself.
Oh dear.
And,
yes.
I've got blood all over the sheets. Yes. I mean, we went away for a weekend, and I really felt embarrassed about it.
Yes.
But I've got no control.
Yes.
Over the scratching. Apart from now, I clip my nails and wear gloves to bed.
Yes.
But often the gloves will come off. But
Bob, are you using anything from your doctor?
Yes, a steroid.
Steroid cream, yes.
Yeah, yes.
Elephrat or something like that, is it?
Yes. And another one also. Low dose antibiotics.
Yes, that's understandable because itching can lead to infection. But look, a simple thing. I myself have experienced during my lifetime what's called eczema, and I know a little bit about an itching condition. And the thing that has helped me a lot over the years has been an understanding and an appreciation of the virtues of pine tar. Topically applied. Now, what does this mean? It means that, and your doctor would tell you this, and your pharmacist would tell you this also, pine tar is recognised as being antipruritic. And some of the older preparations for the skin, certainly before the advent of steroids, many of those older preparations were based on the knowledge that in a lotion form, a cream form, or an ointment form, that you could get a significant relief from itch. And I can remember as a younger man when I was commuting to Sydney from my home on the Central Coast, that I'd be scratching so badly that in order to be able to get up early to get on the train, I'd go and dive in a bath into which I had poured a significant amount of what is called pine tarsal. What I'd suggest you do is go to your local pharmacy, and I know the one that you go to up there. We've got some good ones in the valley. I suggest you go to the pharmacist, talk about getting some pine tarsal or equivalent preparations. It comes in a lotion, a gel, or even a soap form. I think if you've got a bath, getting the lotion is probably best and pouring some of that into a bath. I would be surprised, Bob, very surprised, if that didn't give you significant relief to certainly get you through the night. Talk to your pharmacist about pine tar topical preparations, particularly...
Is that pine tarsal as in P-I-N-E?
Yes. Tarsal? Yeah, T-A-R-S-O-L. Let me just point out that that is a popular product that includes pine tar, but there are other preparations in the pharmacy that would incorporate pine tar. It's just that that's the preparation that I was introduced to as a young man and still use it and still claim it's an underappreciated, simple way of dealing with an itch without entirely depending upon steroid preparation.
The next little bit, Dennis, you'll be continuing on talking about some of the protocols for the cold and winter flu season. In the meanwhile, g'day, Chris at Brankston. You have a question for Dennis today. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, yeah, Dennis. There's a product that's sort of been mentioned on the internet quite a bit recently.
Yes.
And it's called DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide. And I was just wondering if you're aware of it and whether it had any practical uses from your opinion or what you thought of it.
Chris, I have heard of it. I'm not a prescriber of it. I know little about it. Now, that is not to say that it hasn't got some benefits, but it's not something that I would be jumping to. I tend to work, as you probably know, at a level where one seeks to harness the herb or to give, if you like, practical information about diet and supplements. That's the best that I could do on DMSO, Chris. I know very little about it and am not too enthused about embracing it in my prescribing or my recommendations. But that is only my being an old man who feels that he probably doesn't have to add too many more things to it.
Yeah. Apparently it's been around for quite a few years.
Yes.
And it is a natural compound.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wondered, in the past, whether you might have come across it, but obviously...
One of the things that I'd suggest you do, Chris, you've got a good pharmacy there in Brankston. I'm in Brankston a fair bit because I have a property down the road from there, as you probably know. Go into your pharmacy there. Pharmacists are very well trained in giving advice on some of these more technical and pharmacy-oriented products, perhaps. Go in and just mention that and see what he or she thinks about it as a supplement. The advice that you would get from the pharmacist would be very reliable and devoid of any specific commercial orientation.
Dennis, we're sort of having a look at some of your protocols to get us through the winter months, which are pretty much on our doorstep now. We're kind of in the shadow of them. A couple of supplements that you think might actually help. So take the first one off the shelf for us.
Look, I think there are two big herbs. When I say big, I'm talking about very important herbs, particularly for reinforcing one's resistance, supporting one's immune system. Two of them in particular. The herb astragalus is an Asian herb, which I've had a lot to do with introducing into Australia, particularly in what's commonly known as the astragalus 8 formula. It is a big herb used all around the world now, probably the single most important herb for addressing the tendency to get viral infections too frequently, and when one gets them, to suffer too badly from them. So astragalus, as a potential herb to help resist the onset of viral infections, flus, colds in particular. Secondarily to that is the well-known herb echinacea. Echinacea has long been regarded as an immune stimulant herb. Where do I see it these days fitting in with the use of astragalus? Both of them have a role to play. Astragalus is to take ongoingly, particularly during this season, to help resist the onset of colds and flu, but echinacea in particular being used if and when a cold or a flu asserts itself. It is to be used, I would contend, as more of an episodic herb than one to be used ongoingly forever and ever. The difference is, as I frequently say, astragalus is a tonic herb. That is, it could be taken to reinforce the body's immune system. Echinacea is more of a stimulant herb. Astragalus is a tonic immune-enhancing herb. Echinacea is a stimulating immune system herb, used if and when, as I've said, the cold or the flu asserts itself. So at this time of the year, what I would be doing, in particularly with people that experienced wintertime problems, start using an astragalus supplement ongoingly to help fight or resist the onset of the virus. Secondarily, stock up on a good echinacea product to have in one's medicine chest to draw on at the slightest hint of the actual onset of the virus. Two most important herbs in my prescribing, to probably the most important herbs that I would prescribe. But let's not just restrict it to a couple of herbs. There are many herbs, and we could talk about them all day. But these two, for their supportive effect on resistance, particularly in cold weather, need special mention. But look, finally let me say, don't overlook the importance of supplements, vitamins and minerals. The most significant vitamin, I would contend, is still vitamin C. Unless one's taking an optimum dose of vitamin C, and one say, what is an optimum dose? In my opinion, 500 to 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily, used during this season in particular to reinforce again the body's resistance mechanism. I'm a great fan of vitamin C. I know there's controversy around it, but look, in my opinion, it works beautifully with the immunosupportive herbs that I've mentioned. But also, don't overlook the secondary substance of most importance, which is zinc. Vitamin C and zinc as nutritional supplements, in my opinion, are as important as echinacea and astragalus as herbs used to reinforce one's resistance to viral infections and to help one recover faster.
Dennis, we've done it. We've made our way through your list of protocols for winter, so rug up now for the next couple of months.
Very good advice, Mike. You should take it on board.
Well, I do. Says me, sitting here with the T-shirt and the fan through that higher soul segment. Dennis, always a pleasure. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
That's Health Naturally wrapping up on 2NUR FM.